Bron is for you, Bron.
Welcome to TNT Hoops Pod, episode 9. It's your boy Quit Bucks, aka Quit Baskets, whatever you want to call me. I'm here with my producer, Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up?
Yeah, that's up, sup. And I'm here with my co-host, Ansel Jackson. What's good, Ansel?
Quitty was good. 3-1, baby, since the All-Star break.
3-1 without Joel Embiid since the All-Star break. We living large, just coming off a W. You know what I'm saying? We beat, we just lost to Portland, lost to New Orleans. And it was a big win tonight against OKC, snapping, what was it, an 18-game losing streak against the Thunder?
Yeah, I think in the past 3-4 years, 18 games.
Probably longer than that, you know what I'm saying? 5-6 years since we beat them, so. Coming off a big W.
108-104.
A
little scary down the stretch, right?
A little scary. Tobias Harris, big night from him, 32 points. Jimmy Butler, 20 points. Ben Simmons with another triple-double, 11, 12, and 13 boards. So definitely a solid game from the squad. We looking pretty good without our big fella. Ansel, what do you think about how we've been looking as a squad?
Yeah, I think coming out of the All-Star break and hearing that Embiid was going to be out, my focus was how were these three key guys, Ben, Butler, and Tobias, going to play in this stretch. And obviously against the Heat, a game that was a little bit closer than we had wanted, but the Heat always play us tough. They were able to pull that out. I think Tobias had, 21, 23 in that game, and Ben had 19. Solid game from him there as well. And then moving on to Portland. Portland's just one of the better rebounding teams.
Just to say something about that Heat game, too, you got to remember Boban played 27 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're kind of, you know, trying to find our way without Embiid. Who's going to play those backup 5 minutes? Obviously, Boban's hurt now, but, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think just aside from that Portland game, like, as a team, like, we're just trying to figure out, like, okay, who takes the shots now, like, or gets those extra shots that Embiid would be normally taking. And then moving into that Pelicans win, we were up, like, almost 10 the whole game, and then down the stretch it just started to close up.
Yeah, we had a 17-point lead in that game.
Yeah.
Blew that with our sets down the stretch. Brett Brown, only complaint, we run these sets, and we get so stagnant at the end of games, and teams find their way back in games because they get stops. That's something we have to, you know, assure. We got to fix that up before the playoffs.
Yeah, and we really lucked out just because Simmons misses those two free throws. Jonathan Simmons, not Ben, at the end of the game. And then Butler just makes a really huge defensive stop at the other end.
Yeah, a lucky block. Randall. I don't know why he shot that, but whatever. I'll take it. Yeah. And then, of course, the big dub tonight against OKC. They were without Paul George. We didn't have Joel Embiid. No excuses. We lined up. We went blow for blow, and we got the W. Tobias Harris playing 40 minutes. Ben Simmons playing 41. Mm-hmm. Might be a little high, but it's kind of what we had to do tonight, you know, with our being so short-handed in the front court. Like we said, Tobias finished with 32, 5 rebounds, 3 assists.
Awful game from Redick, by the way. He was 3 for 13 field, 2 for 9 from 3.
Yeah, but just his presence alone, JJ. Those two threes probably were timely. We won by 4 or so. His presence definitely was felt. But let me finish with Tobias. Tobias, 32 points, 11 for 19 from the field, 5 for 7 from 3. I mean, that's the guy we brought in. I mean, that's even more than what we want from him. 32 points, I live with that, obviously. Jimmy Butler, 28 and 8, right? So that's kind of like what we kind of
exactly
want to touch on.
From the glue guy, and a lot of those came in the fourth.
Jimmy being our glue guy, we kind of want to touch on that and how much more with Embiid out. And even when Embiid's back, Jimmy being more of the primary half-court, you know, ball handler as opposed to Ben, you know what I'm saying? Anytime down, you know, put Ben in that dunker spot like we always talk about. Dunker spot is basically the short corner for those of you that don't know. But put him in a dunker spot, give Jimmy the ball, and I feel like he's becoming more of that primary half-court ball handler. And, you know, it's opening his game up more to not just be that scorer but also get guys involved. And,
Yeah, 7 assists the last game before this, 8 assists tonight. As you said, he's just distributing a lot. He's making sure other guys are involved, getting guys like Mike Scott. Like, there were a couple times earlier we were watching the game together, and like we were getting frustrated because he wasn't shooting early. But then we noticed just kind of dishing off to Mike Scott, even though he shouldn't have He should have taken the layup. I think it was like early in the first quarter off of the spin. Much right. Was wide open in the corner. And just kind of getting, it was Bolden actually. And just kind of getting those guys involved.
Bolden hit that corner three too. Jonah Bolden's been playing really well for us off the bench. Yeah, young fella.
2 for 3 from 3, as you said earlier. For the other
Six
guys.
6 for 7 from the field. Yeah. Actually, a big Jonah Bolden night. That's actually our apologies for not mentioning that. He was playing pretty, he played really well tonight for getting that start with Boban being down. He's going to be a key piece going down the stretch here to see if he's going to get some major minutes, and I think he is.
Yeah, and as for the rest of the bench, didn't really get much out of Ennis tonight, 2 for 6.
I mean, that's more than points. We usually get, score 4 points. He doesn't score, so he scored 4. He's 2 for 6. I guess he was aggressive looking for a shot.
TJ with a lot of energy, just 2 points, but TJ doesn't assists. Really show up in the box score. And we didn't really get as badly out rebounded as I had thought we would have, just kind of given that the
TJ was a plus 6 tonight too.
Yeah, I think the total rebounding stats was 44. It was dead even actually. So going up against the Thunder without Embiid, our best rebounder, obviously, I think we held our own.
So yeah. So overall, to wrap up, you know, what we think this stretch has been without Embiid. Just hypothetically thinking he's coming back Saturday against Golden State. I think we can play a small ball lineups. If Joel Embiid gets in foul trouble, you know, if he gets nicked up for a game or two in the playoffs, you know, we hope he doesn't, obviously. But if he does, we kind of showed that we can, you know, play with more small ball lineups, putting Mike Scott at the 5, playing Tobias the 5, you know, having Ben, you know, Mike Scott, Tobias rotate those 3 positions inside. Mixing in Jonah Bolden, just being a smaller, more scrappy team down low. Not having Joel, I think that's what this stretch is kind of showing us, that we can play in that dimension and play smaller and match up and be able to switch, you know, that more of that more traditional style.
As an aside, before tonight, because tonight he didn't have as strong as an offensive performance, but Ben Simmons is leading in his previous 12 quarters, averaged, 21 points a game. On 17 attempts, which is, I think, 4 more than he normally takes without Embiid. So he's just kind of taking the ownership without the other star guy out, just kind of be really aggressive. And 8 rebounds, leading the team with a defensive rating 109, which is kind of through the roof right now. So
Ben Simmons defends like crazy. That's one thing you got to give to him.
And 1 through 5, as we always say, so you can defend guys like Russ. And sometimes he got switched on to Adams, and Adams was killing us on the inside. Let's see how much he had. He had 11, but he had
Steven Adams tonight. Yeah. I think they all did a good job on them tonight.
It seemed he had 14 rebounds, so it seemed as if he was, I guess, doing more on the inside.
Ben had 13. Shit, he held his own. 41 minutes.
But
11, 11, and 13. So, next we want to bring in our standings. How do we think, you know, it's going to shape, you know, how the East is going to shape, you know, how it's going to come down. Right now, we got Milwaukee number 1. Mm-hmm. We have Toronto's 2 at 45-17. Milwaukee's 47-14, best record in the league. Indiana's at 41-22. The Sixers a half game back at 40-22. Boston 37-25. Brooklyn 32-31. Detroit 29-31. Orlando 29-34. So those are top 8 seeds right now.
I know this doesn't really matter, but I do think Charlotte sneaks up just in that 8th spot.
Okay.
Just
taking Orlando's spot.
Taking Orlando's spot.
Okay.
The Pistons are definitely going to make the playoffs, I think. And just moving up. The Nets.
I think the Wizards flirt.
I think the Wizards can flirt with that.
I think they might be 3 back right now.
Yeah, they're 3 back of Charlotte right now. They're 22 games beyond first.
I'm not saying they get in, but I think they make it a little run at the end because Bradley Beal is really hot. He just needs 1 or 2 guys to, you know, start playing better with him.
Yeah, Satoransky maybe can heat up.
Not even Jeff Green, somebody.
Yeah.
But Trevor Reed, they got some pieces.
And then I think the Nets are locked in pretty much at that 6th spot. Maybe if Detroit goes on a run, and then we get to Boston at the 5. From what you were telling me earlier, from what you saw, that something Kyrie said about them not really caring about the seeding. Right?
Kyrie into that. Was saying basically how he's not worried about the seeding right now. 1 and 2 are basically locked up. Then he added in 3, which would be Indiana right now. But do you think Celtics the Celtics like 3.5 behind Indiana? And he said basically it's locked up. Like they have no chance of getting that. So that's coming from your leader, your starting point guard. So,
so do you think, as a Sixers fan, do you think we can overtake that 3 spot, or do you just think we're just kind of comfortably sitting at that 4?
I mean, Toronto would have to be go really cold, Toronto or Milwaukee.
Which I doubt. I highly doubt.
So I think 3 is the most, you know, feasible that we'll get to. But, I mean, if we can get to 2, that would be crazy. But I don't see it really happening. I think it's probably going to be Toronto. I mean, Milwaukee, Toronto, we're going to get the 3 spot. If Boston doesn't get their act together, Indiana will stay at that 4 spot.
Yeah.
So that's just really what it's going to come down to. But it's all about that second round, and I'd rather play Milwaukee than Toronto. So realistically, I want the 4 spot, and I won't have a problem with having a 4 spot.
Agreed. I think it's a lot easier to deal with Giannis just as a singular entity than having
Giannis and others, yeah, as opposed to the deepest team in the NBA, and exactly, the Toronto Raptors.
Adding guys like Pat McCall, who's a sleeper guy, or Jeremy Lin, who hasn't been playing outstanding, but
right, let
him as your third point guard behind Lowry, Van Vliet, like that's
right. Let Boston or Indiana take a shot at, you know, Toronto first, and yeah, then we'll try. And maybe Boston will come out. We can beat Boston.
So, leading in next, what do we got?
We got next the La Drama Show.
The La Drama Show.
Man.
All right, man, before we even get into the La Drama Show, we're going to take a quick commercial break. For our first time, we have our first sponsor.
Oh, yeah, shout out. Black Tux.
Black Tux, baby, Black Tux. So we'll be back with you guys in 1 second. Today's episode of TNT Hoops is brought to you by the Black Tux. The guys and I were actually talking in our living room. Just kind of how stressful the wedding season can be. And that's exactly why applications like the Black Tux exist. Because weddings should be memorable and not for their lack of style. That's why our friends at Black Tux design rental suits and tuxedos that you'll love wearing at your wedding. So if you end up getting featured on a list of 23 epic fails for things like dropping the wedding cake, or your DJ playing Bump and Grind during your father-daughter dance, at least you'll look good. The best part about Black Tux is that they have an easy online ordering process that brings your suit or tuxedo straight to you. Just pick a style at theblacktux.com and request a free home try-on so you can feel the fit and quality that they commit to you. If online isn't your style, they have plenty of showrooms all over the country that can find your fit and plan your look. From there, they'll ship your outfit out to you in 2 weeks before your wedding so you can check it out one last time. That's what I call commitment.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to TNT Hoops Pod, Episode 9. That was our first sponsor, the Black Tux. We just want to get back into our general base topics. Today being February 28th, the last day of Black History Month, we wanted to talk about the influence that, you know, basketball and sports in general have had over the Black culture. So we're going to touch on that later, you know, within our general base topics. But to start off, we just want to talk about the La Drama Show going on, you know, right now in L.A. You know, just LeBron being talking about his teammates being having distractions and things of that nature. Just everything that's going on in L.A. right now with, you know, what comes with the king and his mogul stage. So, Ansel, let's just ask you straight up, bro, what do you think? What do you think about the whole?
Yeah,
the whole scene out there in L.A.
You just heard that threat to society, fresh off the rapper Go to the League from 2 Chainz, A&R'd by the one and only LeBron James. So,
but he's telling his teammates, man, don't be getting distracted. Stay off the social media.
Yeah, I just being the greatest player in the world. Sometimes it's just kind of hard to look yourself in the eye, or kind of just look at yourself as the person that maybe isn't living up to the standard. That the Lakers standard that should be upheld, maybe is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. And it just kind of stinks to see him just showing his ass out basically right
Man,
now.
Man, listen, right? he's had a tough week, a tough stretch here of, you know, being a leader. It's kind of frustrating for him. He's coming back off his injury. I know I know like he's not 100% healthy as far as physically. And he's trying to work himself back into it because he knows, you know, oh, I'm activated now or whatever he was saying. He knows, you know, it's time to really, you know, kick it up for the playoffs. He's trying to talk himself, make himself believe it, you know, get himself going a little bit.
And I think it's a lot harder just in the West just compared to.
But it's frustrating on him on a night-to-night basis, and he's kind of realizing that. And he kind of has young guys that – aren't necessarily consistent. You don't know, okay, is he going to step up and take us home tonight and just take the load off my, you know what I mean? Take that, you know.
And I think he's dealt with that throughout his career, but it was just easier in Cleveland, you know, like you would run into the Magic and go through those problems, but you'd be able to squeak out that win in the last two or three minutes. But when you go up against teams like we saw New Orleans without AD, like Jrue Holiday would be able to close that out.
Throughout the conference in the West, like, there's nights off in the East. You know, you might play a team tanking in the 14 or 15 hole that just don't care about the game. They have D-leaguers in their starting lineup. You know what I mean? Yeah. G-leaguers now, I'm sorry.
No, but you'll run into teams like Houston. I mean, they beat Houston, and now I think that was the first game after the All-Star break, but they kind of lucked out just because Scott Foster got Harden out of there real quick. But, like, it just was – it seemed as if that whole game, like, sooner or later Harden and Chris Paul were going to figure it out, and they were clawing – back the whole time, and I think right before those two calls, like it was about three or four point game. And
man, the league want the Lakers to go to the playoffs. Yeah, close that out. You know, they wasn't in. James Harden said it's personal. He said it's personal. Like these dudes got something out against us. So I mean, that game was. It was what it was. I thought it was going to get them rolling a little bit, and then when they come back and lose to New Orleans the next night without AD in their next game.
Mm-hmm. 128-115.
Just no defense being played. Mm-hmm. The Lakers just seem like a team that's just not deep. They only have a couple of reliable guys. Very top-heavy, LeBron, Kuzma, and Ingram doing the majority of the scoring.
Yeah, needless to say, LeBron still had 27, 7-12 that game. So
yeah.
Still getting his numbers.
The numbers are there, but they're really struggling on the defensive end right now without Alonzo. But, you know, I think he comes back later and really kind of triggers them. So that kind of leads into the question, do you think they make the playoffs?
Currently, no. Not from what I've seen over these last four games, I guess. The loss to Memphis was really bad. Just 110-105 loss. I don't think they're expecting Memphis to play that hard, especially without Jaren Jackson Jr. But they have guys like veterans, Mike Conley with 30 points.
Mike Conley gave him a 30-piece nugget.
Yeah.
With honey mustard, barbecue sauce, sweet sour sauce, all that. He was getting crazy with them.
Joakim Noah kind of had a spark and just revitalized. He's always plays hard against LeBron. Always talking shit against LeBron. Yeah, 14-12.
First team all NBA Joakim Noah back in the day.
Defensive player of the year back in the day as well, I think, too.
He turned back the clock. What, you said 14-12?
Mm-hmm.
Took a charge on LeBron late in that game, too. That game was weird, man. They really went down to the grindhouse and lost to a tanking team.
And a memorable play from that game, too. I think LeBron was standing in the paint. I forgot who shot the three.
It seems like Caballo or something like that, but he obviously on the scouting report, he wasn't on the scouting report to shoot threes, and LeBron didn't even run out there.
Yeah, showing the effort, and it's kind of things like that.
Lot of plays like that, though. It's been a lot of plays like that.
And you don't want to put a magnifying glass too much on that, but if you're telling the young guys, hey, I need you guys to try and show effort when Kuz and B.I. go off for 29 or 30-plus, like you kind of have to carry your weight as well.
And just overall body language, like that's what, you know, there's been some complaints for LeBron because he just, like, when things are going wrong, like, you might just have to pick up your younger teammates and not be so demanding. Like, of course, you want to be demanding, but it can't be so demanding to the point where it seems like you're whining. You know what I mean? It's like you're not really leading at that point. You're kind of like, okay, you want to win really
badly. Everything's going wrong. This is going wrong. That's going wrong. Right? Yeah.
Sometimes you want to kind of comfort them and understand, like, all right, everything's going to be cool, like, it's a game of runs, you know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have that mentality. You know, not saying that he shouldn't be demanding on his young teammates, but I think he's, you know, finding a way to try to mix it up a little more. He has to find a better way to, you know, start doing that a little bit better.
And they kind of bounced back last night. They played the Pelicans again, but this time in L.A. Won by 6 points. And
basically, AD didn't play again because he played the first half, was on pace to score like 40 because I think he had 20 in like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a night off in the third and fourth quarter because they took AD out maybe a little, I think 4 minutes left in the third, they took AD out. Yeah, they never got back in. So
I like Steve and Jeff Van Gundy commentating that game. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Guys. I saw that. I love Jeff Van Gundy. I love Jeff Van Gundy because he always keep it so
Stan,
real.
Stan, not Steve. My bad, Stan.
Stan. The White's old coach. Yeah. Little dude.
Dwight!
Yeah, you remember Dwight used to always make fun of him. But ultimately, I think the Lakers do make the playoffs. Two words, LeBron James. He's not missing the playoffs. I think he's looking at it like, I'm going to will my team to victory. You know what I'm saying? They get Lonzo back in a week or so. He really helps them on the defensive end. And obviously that triggers everything going back the other way. And they get more easy buckets in transition when Lonzo plays. And they're just a much better team with their starting point guard, like every team would be. So when they get him back, I think they make a little, make a little push. They're three games back from that 8 seed right now, mm-hmm. behind the Clippers, and I don't think the Clippers really want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's more beneficial for them not, just so they can keep their pick.
Right, and I think the Kings, I think they ultimately pass the Kings. A young, very fun team to watch.
Kings have been playing well, though, man. Like, that game against Golden State, they only lost by one, and they beat the Thunder, and then only lost to Milwaukee last night by one, although
but that's the thing.
Bagley went down. Like,
that doesn't matter. Like, just lost by three or lost by four, like, that's, they lost for a reason. It's like, you're either ready for the moment or you're not. You know what I mean? True. So them losing by one to the Warriors is no different than them losing by 17 to the Warriors. It's like, you're either ready or you're not for that moment. And you have to win these games down the stretch. And I don't see them winning enough games. Like, they haven't played in these big time situations. Because when you're in a playoff race and there's five games left, the playoffs already started. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think just the reason why I'm just so strong on the Kings just because their upcoming schedule. They play L.A. They'll be able to gain a ground against L.A. if they win on Friday, and then they get New York, and then they go up to Boston, which is going to be a toss-up. But once again, they always play hard, and how Boston's looking right now, that they can easily sneak out with the win, and they get New York again, then Washington. Like, so the Kings don't really have to do as much, I guess, is what I want to say, as the Lakers to make the playoffs. Just given their schedule, I know the Lakers play the Bucks tomorrow.
But that's the thing. Suns, also with Clippers, younger Nuggets. Teams like Sacramento, you can rattle off, a team like New York, the Knicks, or the Magic, or whoever the case may be. But if it's a lesser team, you might, that's a win. It's a winnable game, but it's a young team. So all those winnable games, yeah, you're supposed to win, but they don't always win all those.
Could say the same thing about the Lakers right now, though.
I mean, you can, but I'm just trusting LeBron James to pull out, that's just how I'm looking at it. I'm trusting him to pull out the games that they have to win and eke out a couple of victories that people don't expect him to win. You know what I mean?
A part of me, kind of the conspiracy theory in me, just thinks that if it gets to a certain point where the Lakers are still teetering in that 9 spot, that they may shut LeBron down. Not completely for the season, but they may just say, hey, it's not beneficial for us to push him to make the playoffs this year, just to put extra tread on the tires, because more than likely they'll run to the Warriors. I mean, obviously they would want Denver. That'd be the preferable matchup. But if they run to the Warriors, it's a sweep. And
I
then
mean, you could say that, home. But the 7th seed and the 8th seed have the same record. So it's like, I think they can get up to 6.
I don't think San Antonio lets go of that 7th seed.
Okay, but it doesn't matter who does. They have the same record. You see what I'm trying to say? Like, so it doesn't matter who takes that spot. If you don't think San Antonio specifically is going to give up that spot, doesn't mean the Clippers might not fall out. Or who's right above San Antonio in the West?
The Jazz.
The Jazz.
Jazz at 34-26.
Or they could slip around. I mean, yeah, realistic. I mean, Lakers are...
They're 30-31. So, they're
4.5 behind the Jazz at the 6th spot, but they're 3 behind the 7th seed. I mean, the 7 and 8 seed is just... very possible for the Lakers. Yeah. I mean, just as possible. That's my point. And if they get to the 7th seed and face Denver, I think they can beat Denver. Yeah. And that's my hot take of the day.
Has anything shown you, though, from these past 4 games to believe that, though? Like, they didn't play well against New
from
Orleans
these last
both
4
times.
Games, no. I mean, they're not playing good
or
basketball.
Even before the All-Star break, Like, what has proven you that they can turn it on? Like, we keep saying the switch. Yeah, just LeBron James solely.
The 39 games of the season show me. That's what showed me.
Okay.
Pre-injury LeBron, Lakers 4th seed in the West, pretty much rolling, playing defense. You know what I'm saying? They weren't winning all the – they weren't finished closing out games. That's the only reason they had 17 losses, but they were playing good basketball. That's why they're the 4th seed in the West. And LeBron was rolling. That's what showed me. And they have LeBron James. That's all I need to see. All
right, so do you want to do our friendly bet? I think in the group chat
– You already know what it's in for.
So aside from the financial side, I think if the Lakers do not make the playoffs, what do you think? Well, just kind of give me something that.
Well, if the Lakers don't make the playoffs, I don't know. What's coming to mind?
Yeah, you definitely got to do the cinnamon challenge. Remember when we was young Bulls?
I'm not doing the cinnamon challenge. Nobody doing the cinnamon challenge. That's just immature. I would never even. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
You would have done a cinnamon challenge. You would have bet cinnamon on LeBron.
I'm not putting cinnamon on LeBron. We'll think of something.
Yeah, for now, let's keep it at the friendly 20.
We'll keep that friendly bet off air. But so yeah, I think they're going to make it. You think or not? We'll get back to that in a few weeks or so.
So the next topic that we wanted to get into was just the top 10 players or the top 25 under 25 list that came out from ESPN this week. Quiddy, if you want to just read out just who they kind of gave us.
Right. So there was. You want me to read out the list? Okay, I can just read out the list. I mean, it's 25 guys.
Yeah, after the top seven, it gets a little like muddy, and then so we'll go Giannis, back and forth.
To round out the top five, you have Giannis, you have Embiid at two, you have Jokic at three, you have Karl Anthony Towns at four, and you have Ben Simmons at five. Mm-hmm. Then that's to round out the top 10, you have Luka, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox at nine, and Devin Booker at 10. So it's okay. Kind of crazy because you got to think Devin Booker maybe a year ago today, he was considered the top of the new class, you know, top scorer or whatever. He's 10 on this list. So, I mean, there's a lot of young talent in the league. And then at 11, you got Porzingis, 12, Siakam, 13, D'Lo, 14, Markkanen, 15, Capella. And then around out the top 20, you got Jaren Jackson, Jamal Murray, DeAndre Ayton, John Collins, and Nurkic. And then you have Marvin Bagley, Caris LeVert, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, and Jaylen Brown to round out the 25. Couple guys that weren't on the list that we thought should definitely be on the list was Trae Young. You agree with that answer?
Yeah, 23-9 in his last 10 games. For the season, he's only shooting 33% from three and 41% from the field. But
he's really finding his groove right now. He's been, you know, playing basketball.
That post-60 game, get that under your belt.
Brandon Ingram's also a snub. I think he could be on this list over a guy like Jaylen Brown.
I think he's just had to go through a lot more than what people realize just from last year. Starting to really find his role with Luke, and a lot of times they're letting him play the one and just kind of mold himself into the offense, and now he takes on a completely different role with LeBron.
So. Right, that second fiddle. And Zach LaVine wasn't on the list as well. So, I mean, Zach LaVine is just an all-around bucket right now. I like to say those younger guys that play for those younger teams and their usage rate is high, and they're not really playing for much. They're kind of just playing, you know. They're out there. They have nothing to lose. You know, their stats kind of get inflated a little bit, but I think Zach LaVine's actually a legit talent in this league, and I think he should have been in the top 25.
Yeah.
But
the guys in the top 10 that I agree with just from that list.
Yeah.
I love Jokic, but at the same time, I'm not taking him over Ben Simmons just if I'm a GM and if I want to start a team and build a team around someone. It's a lot harder to build a team around a 7-foot center.
I mean, the thing about Jokic, though, and Ben Simmons is actually a very good comparison because of their style of play. They're both pass-first, you know, playmakers. But the reason I think
a point guard is more valuable than a center.
Jokic plays like a point center anyway, so that argument doesn't really work for him.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
They run it through him,
Point center is just half court though. A true point guard controls ball transition, controls the tempo, controls
sometimes.
You know what I mean?
But I'm saying it doesn't really work. You're saying more important, but in the half court, I mean, Jokic runs their offense. So that's just what I'm saying. Personally. I think it's a good comparison.
Yeah, but if the game speeds up like how we played OKC tonight, Jokic can't slow it down. Yeah, exactly.
That's why I wanted Ben because the athletic factor. Defense matters too. Ben can guard 1-5. He's quick enough to guard 1-5. Like the athleticism stuff you can't teach.
And it's the ceiling. Like right now, Jokic is playing better than Ben Simmons. Yeah, that's obvious.
I think Jokic is as good as he'll be. I mean, obviously he'll get much better, more crafty, and all that. But numbers wise, there's not much more he can add to his game. He's really, he's at his athletic ceiling.
Yeah.
So his production wise,
yeah, last 10, he's 23, 12 boards, 8 assists, which is just absurd for a big
legit.
Man.
That's legit. Yeah, yeah. But there's a couple names on here that, you know, kind of caught my eye. So they have D'Angelo Russell at 13, and they have De'Aaron Fox at 9. Actually, sorry, I don't even want to compare those. Well, rank these three guys: De'Aaron Fox, Donovan Mitchell, and D'Angelo Russell.
Donovan Mitchell, De'Aaron Fox, and then D'Angelo Russell. That's a lot of D's, pause.
Right.
But
I don't even know if all the names were D.
I think that just Mitchell, from what he showed last year, going up against OKC, like, that's kind of hard to overlook. Being the number one guy as a rookie and being able to go toe-to-toe with Russ and Paul George means a lot to me, just kind of in the database of how I judge a player. Fox, strictly off of, I think I've watched more of the Kings this year than ever in my life. And I think Fox is another guy who controls the tempo of a game. He's growing into the role as the leader of that team. I think all of those guys look to him as the alpha, which is important. I've seen it in D'Angelo Russell, but sometimes I guess the end of the Lakers run left a bad taste for me. And that's not a knock on D'Angelo Russell.
He was
Russell.
Like 19 years old.
Yeah, true.
He was literally like 18.
But
go ahead.
I don't know. It's close. Like, it's 1A, 1B for those two guys, but I just like Fox more. I think just as moving forward as a GM. What about yourself? What do you think, rank those three?
So me, I'm actually happy that we disagree. So I would go D'Angelo Russell
at 1 over
both of them. I think D'Angelo Russell's a more efficient scorer. Well, I know he's a more efficient scorer than Donovan Mitchell and De'Aaron Fox. He's just a better offensive player, more fluid, scorer, just more fluid game. You know what I'm saying? Offensively, Donovan Mitchell will shoot you out of game sometimes, so that's a weakness in his game. And De'Aaron Fox, I mean, he can shoot the ball, but he's not really a shooter yet, per se. So I would take Russell over both of them. Also, you see that man Russell got an All-Star appearance. Those two done.
Yeah, but that's in the East, and he was a reserve.
He was a reserve. I don't care what conference he's in.
He didn't get voted into the All-Star game. That counts. That counts. He was just picked.
Listen,
Phil,
when you go back on it, D'Lo got an All-Star appearance.
Yes.
Number two, I'm gonna put Swipe of the Fox over Donovan Mitchell, and I have Donovan Mitchell third. I like Fox's game over Mitchell's. I just think Mitchell's he's a scoring machine, obviously, but he's high volume. He shoots the ball a lot. You know what you're gonna get with him. You know it's crazy because you know what you're gonna get with him, but you know he's unpredictable. If that makes sense, because he's such a high volume, inefficient type scorer.
It's kind of like Russ almost.
He know he's gonna have these spurts where he's gonna go crazy. Yeah, you know he's gonna go crazy, and then. You know he'll get cold for a stretch. Yes, yeah. It's definitely like Russ. He can shoot you out of a game, and he could get real hot and win you a game. Yeah. So you know that's what he's going to be at his ceiling, and he's going to be the number one piece on the team, and I don't want that. I'd rather Fox, a pure point guard, lightning quick, or just a score-first point guard.
17-7.
Also
eight.
Get everybody involved. What's the name of that? 21-7 right 21-7 right now.
Who?
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah,
so,
and
you know
Swipe
I mean?
Is at 17-7. So.
Right. So, I mean,
fairly
dudes,
close.
All let me ask you this. Jason Tatum or Ben Simmons?
We've had this conversation before, but I guess for the listeners, Simmons.
Simmons?
Yeah, Simmons is a guy that, you control the team. Like, being the leader of the team and the point guard means a lot more than me to
being that guy that just scores off to the side.
Yeah,
that
you know.
That needs you to do that.
Like, it's a lot harder to do that on a night-to-night basis and be the focal point of an offense, and the offense goes as Ben goes.
Right.
So.
All right, so, I mean.
2K, though, I guess maybe Tatum's more fun to use.
Oh, wow. All right, what about Porzingis or Karl-Anthony Towns?
Strictly off the fact that Porzingis tore his ACL, taking Cat. I don't know what I'm going to get off of Porzingis coming back next year. And so far, since Jimmy Butler has left, Cat's having 23 points a game, 12 boards, 2 blocks, playing aggressively. And sometimes he does disappear.
I'd go Porzingis off of talent. But as far as durability, Cat literally plays every game.
Yeah, missed his first game of the night.
Porzingis is on and off the court like a mug. So I'd take Cat over him, but I think Porzingis is the better player. And I don't necessarily mean the better player through skill set. I mean, their skill sets are pretty similar, but I just feel that the impact on the game kind of stems off your demeanor. And I like Porzingis' demeanor more. He's more of a dog than Cat. He's kind of just out there, you know what I'm saying, staring at the floor.
Yeah.
Just being Cat, you know what I mean? So if you've seen Cat play basketball, you know what I mean as far as, like, the way he carries himself is not really a aggressive demeanor.
Yeah, I have a good one for you. Jaylen Brown or Caris LeVert?
That's tough. I mean, LeVert has
so I'll give you LeVert's numbers from this year. He's obviously hurt, but 15, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal a game.
I think LeVert's a better offensive player, a better offensive talent. I think Jaylen Brown really locks up on defense, but he's inconsistent on the offensive end. Yeah. I think I'll go LeVert.
You don't think that's kind of due to just his role being inconsistent this year with Boston?
That's the only team I've ever seen him on, so I don't know if that's a Boston thing or he'd be different on another team. But I know for a fact LeVert is balling he's having a really good start to the year before he got hurt on a mid-level talent team in Brooklyn. So
yeah.
I think we should leave it there as far as the top 25. I think we agree that Giannis is the best player under 25.
Yeah,
anybody can pick their team with Giannis. And then Embiid, we agree that he's second. Yeah. That rounds up our top. Yeah, and then
Luka third right now. Okay. You made a good point earlier, though, about Giannis just since they're the number one team in the East. Do you think that they necessarily need another superstar, or could they potentially win a championship with just him being the focal point? Because last night with Mirotić having 19 off of the bench,
right,
like he didn't even play in overtime.
Yeah, I mean, I think they need I heard because they said he can win with 12 Chris Middletons. And if you have guys at that talent level, you know, saying mid-level players that can, you know, play their role, I think Giannis could be one of those superstars that gets it done without necessarily another superstar next to him. But, I mean, it'd be tough with, you know, teams as talented as Golden State and Houston and Boston and Toronto. But
at a certain point, two or three guys are going to have to really step up.
All right, man. So let's move on to our next topic. The Phil signed Bryce Harper to a 13-year, $330 million contract today. Insane money, insane amount.
No trade clause.
Yeah, no opt-outs. Insane deal. Crazy. The wait's been so long. Finally, we got him on the team, on the squad. And it's kind of just bringing that winning atmosphere back to Philly, just the overall base of all the sports teams, whether that's the Phillies, you know, the Eagles, you know, the Sixers, the Flyers, not so much. The Flyers are kind of on the come up. You know, they have a young goalkeeper and that kid, Carter Hart. I think he's only 20 years old. He's actually been playing really well. He got hurt recently, but, you know, he's helping him out. But just the Sixers with Ben and Joe and then bringing in, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and bringing in Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. Yeah. You know, making two blockbuster moves and just bringing up the environment in Philly basketball. And then the Eagles, obviously, with Carson Wentz.
Cox, Jernigan.
You know, Jernigan, Malcolm Jenkins, Alshon Jeffrey, you know what I'm saying? We just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Our whole vibe in Philly, we're Super Bowl bust now. We think we have that much talent. And then the Phillies, just this blockbuster move, getting Harper.
And just for baseball, just being such a boring and dull sport just to the general public. I know there's a lot of guys that love it just for the beauty of the game, but having a big name and a face like Bryce Harper to get guys like you and I just down at the ballpark on opening day to tailgate and be around the stadium.
Like, I have interest, and I love baseball growing up, but it kind of tailed off for me interest-wise growing as I got older just because
I'm not going to keep up with minor league guys, you know what I mean?
The game's too slow. If your team's not really dominant, it's not much fun to watch. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, it's a beauty of the game type sport, kind of the environment. But just Bryce being in town now, it's just like you said, two casual baseball fans may just, what you doing tonight? Let's go to the Phillies game. get a couple brews, you know what I'm saying? Chill. Like,
exactly. And be able to actually watch good baseball and like
you
have
know, you got a superstar that might pop a home run. Yeah, pop a home run out.
So that's cool to see. We wanted also touch on today was being the last day of Black History Month. Just as kind of the impact that basketball in particular, because this is the TNT Hoops Pod, has had on just the culture and not even just African Americans, but all races. Just kind of give me your thought and perspective of how far we've come as a league, our society, just given our age.
Right. So I actually love this topic because I love our people. I just, you know what I'm saying, African American culture, just period. You know, I feel like if we, you know, us coming together, whether that be within sports and politics, whatever, just our culture is just so beautiful to see. And I think like sports and basketball specifically, because, you know, kids are told nowadays, or not even told, but you kind of are raised on, okay, I can make the NBA if I try hard enough. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like every kid wanted to be that basketball player. If they didn't want to be a rapper, they wanted to be a basketball player. And it's like basketball has such a strong, you know, such a strong vibe in our community. It brings people together. You're able to show your personality through a basketball game.
Yeah.
It just has, you know, has that you, if you play with that swag, and that's a big credit to Allen Iverson, who came,
you making know, that acceptable, you know, for you to play that with an attitude.
To our Black culture, to have tattoos, to wear a do-rag, to have, you know, arm sleeves, you know, cornrows, whatever the case, and just be your own type player on the court. And I think basketball in the Black culture is kind of, you know, just so important because it helps us.
And that's also a credit to the league itself, just making those guys' personalities seem approachable, and they do a good job of marketing these guys, like D-Wade with some of those Mountain Dew commercials, or like you have Giannis with the Metro PCS, with Plant Horse with the short white guy. Like, you know what I mean? So little things like that of just kind of just tying in the superstars to the everyday fan is what the NBA does a really good job of. And that's a tribute to Adam Silver and David Stern before this.
Right. And you see, the thing is crazy. So you watch the NBA on TV or whatever, these young kids in poverty areas, you know, they watch these athletes, and most of them are African-American. Well, not these athletes, but these, you know, basketball players specifically. Most of them are African American. So that young kid, he's seeing a 5'11", 6 foot point guard coming up. He's like, damn, I can be the same. You know, I can be on the same type time. I can be on the same wave as him, as long as I put in that work. So it really like our culture really looks at, you know what I'm saying, the NBA, and they see all these, you know, African American athletes flying around, and it makes us think this is the way out. This is my way to get, you know, my family out the hood. You know what I'm saying? Playing basketball, playing sports, it keeps us out the streets. So I think it's just so important in our society. Just
and a lot of these and a lot of these guys are like generally it seems to be good guys. You know what I mean? Like LeBron seems like a really good family man, and Kevin Durant, although sometimes he goes on his rants, he seems like a guy that's genuine and is not afraid to speak his mind and show kids that, hey, I can articulate myself and I can be angry sometimes, but I can tell you why I'm angry instead of sometimes handling things in other ways. Like, I don't know. I think just guys in the league have done a phenomenal job just being role models. And so
definitely. And just the last thing to kind of wrap that up is, I mean, these guys in the league, they've all come from the hood. Most of them come from the hood. They don't come from much. LeBron James was given everything at, 16, 17 years old. They told him he was going to be this and that, and he lived up to it, right, coming straight out of the hood.
Yeah.
So it's like all these kids, they see that these dudes come from the hood. So it's like that's kind of where the correlation is. It's like you don't even know. Like people won't even know, but, I mean, you go to a classroom in the middle of the city, and you ask every kid what they want to be when they grow up, and, you know, you have, say you have 25 Black kids in that class, I mean, and you got 15 boys, probably 13, 14 of those kids are going to say, I want to go to the NBA. Probably the other two are probably going to say, I want to be a rapper, or, you know what I'm saying? And that's our culture, you know what I'm saying? That's really our culture. So I think, you know, with today being the last day of Black History Month, that was just important to touch on how much of an influence, you know, sports have on Black culture. Like, how much pride we take in, yeah. you know, being good at sports, being dominant at sports. You know what I'm saying? People say, oh, man, all you care about is sports. I mean, this is all I know.
Yeah,
this
and
is
it does life. Something. Yeah, it does something for you too. For guys like me who weren't particularly good at sports, it gives you a hobby and it gives you a community of friends and people to be around and to raise you. Yeah,
a way to communicate. Like, exactly.
A good coach is realistically a good father figure to a lot of these kids, and I think that, like, sometimes like you yourself being a coach, like having to pick up kids and drop kids off, like for practice stuff like that, it's not a burden on you because you love to do it and you love to help people out.
Right.
And so, just the game itself just brings kids together. And so for me personally, I appreciate it and I appreciate everything it's done for me in my life, whether it wasn't drastic. I didn't play in college or anything like that, but it's given me something to just do with friends and do with other people from other races and connect with people from other races about. So
let me ask you this to wrap it up. Who do you think are our most influential African American athletes as today? Like, who would you say are three guys that kind of shaped the way, you know?
So three current guys. One, LeBron James, just because he's the most vocal, I think, superstar athlete of our era, just being willing to speak on all of the issues and address things head on, and that's just awesome to see. Better than any other basketball player, I think, just to date.
Period. Yeah, right.
For our era. Yeah. I don't know how well Bill Russell and those guys did. Another guy, I would say Colin Kaepernick, just from what he's done with the NFL and the way his approach is not being like overly aggressive trying to get his point across. He kept the same message throughout and just said, hey, listen, I'm fighting for the equality of minorities against the police. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a very important message to get across. And I think he did that in such a manner where the message couldn't be misconstrued, although the media tried to misconstrue it.
They tried it.
So I think he...
I mean, they succeeded because they got that man off the league, but they paid him that bread, so whatever.
And then third, I don't know. Who would you say would be the third?
I mean, there's a lot of names you can throw in there. Michael Jordan, obviously, he was that revelation. Like, he flipped it all. You know what I'm saying? He kind of added that Air Jordan and shifted the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think AI just grabbed it by the... AI just grabbed it and took a run with it.
AI made it accept for you to be who you are.
Yeah. And I kind of touched on that earlier. AI just... He showed who he was through how he played basketball, whether that was how he, like, literally him coming to the court, coming to the arena with baggy sweatpants, with 3XL sweatpants and a do-rag and whatever, just being his own person. AI kind of showed that you can be who you are on the basketball court. As long as you're doing what you got to do well, man, there's nothing they can say to you. So I think AI was super influential, man. I think the craziest thing is the arm sleeve he wears. He was really wearing that for an actual medical reason, and people literally just started wearing it, like, just like for swag, like just actual fashion. People start wearing it. He was wearing it for a legit medical reason. He said, obviously, when my elbow was fine, I didn't have the tendonitis in my elbow anymore. Yeah. I still just wore it because I was used to it. He said, I was so used to it.
Yeah, nice, but just receivers,
that,
like
that, how little that
Odell
is.
Wearing sleeves, right?
You got the headbands and all that. Man, AI brought all that. So I definitely got him rounding out that three. Obviously, who'd you say? LeBron,
Cap, and then AI.
Kaepernick, of course, and then Michael Jordan was, you know, in that mix too. So yeah, I think that's some great discussion on, you know, where we stand as a black community in sports and how influential it actually is to our people. And today being February 28th, we thought that was very important to touch on to wrap up this episode of TNT Hoops Pod. Yeah.
Thank you guys. Thank you for the continued support. It's been cool to just see our friends and a couple of people that follow us on social media reach out and tell us the things that they like and things they want to hear more of and so on. So thank you guys. Keep sharing and reviewing the podcast. We appreciate it.
Definitely appreciate that. Like Ansel said, just piggybacking off that. Stay in touch. We try to drop, you know, a pod or two each week. So stay on top of that. TNT Hoops, keep remembering that name. Quinn Silly, man, we going back and forth on these mics. So we bringing that good content to y'all.
All right. Until next time, TNT Hoops. Thanks for listening. One.